Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We mourn with those that mourn, and we rejoice with those that rejoice. So therefore, we lift up to the residents of the city of Dallas that were affected. We lift up the people in Baton Rouge, and we lift up the people in Minnesota that were all affected in one way or another. We pray for the hearts of everyone else who has found themselves as bystanders, looking in on something that they have no power to change. And Lord, we pray right now for all those hearts that have become discouraged at what they have seen with their eyes. But you, O God, are a shield about us. You are the glory and the lifter of our heads. And therefore, we lift up our eyes to the hills. From whence comes our help? Because our help comes only from you. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that today you would give us a word that would encourage, strengthen, and grant us wisdom to move and to do what we need to do in order to see you move the way you desire to move. So we thank you and give you praise and glory for these things right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, you have audacious power. You have audacious power. The power that God has given to us by his Holy Spirit is audacious in its nature. And it is so audacious, in fact, that we can be bold and have audacity to actually stand in faith for the things that God has told us we can have. But audacity requires something. Audacity requires a confidence that you can't buy in a store. Audacity requires a confidence that you can't get by hearing what God did for somebody else. Audacity requires something that you can't listen to my message and go home and that be what helps you all the way. I can only point you in a direction on where you can get some audacity. The only place a person can get audacity, and we're going to start, it's not on the list, go to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to start right there. There's only one place to get audacity, the kind of audacity I'm talking about. Now, some people got audacity with just human, regular kind of stuff. Amen? Some of the counterculture movements that are around us have gathered audacity in them becoming a community to themselves, and then they've been strengthened by their community to become audacious in your face. That's human audacity. You have a group of people who you draw strength from, and with that group of people, then you're bold to now go do something or say something or be something. Amen? That's audacity. Isaiah chapter 6 talks about how the prophet Isaiah became audacious. How did he get audacity? How did he get to where he was willing to stand before kings and prophesy to them? And tell them what God said when they didn't want to hear that. There's only one place you can get that power. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm not going to go too deeply into this, especially since I haven't gotten into my Bible yet. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. It says this, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, which two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The angels started talking to each other. They started talking to each other about God. Holy, holy, holy. Now, Isaiah thought, I'm seeing God, and he's filling the whole temple. I'm seeing that there's just a glory of the Lord that's spread out over everything, and I hear these angels start crying to themselves, holy, holy, holy. Verse 4, I want you to listen close. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Look closely. I, for years, read this passage and said to myself, wow, God's voice shook the whole place. That's not what it says. The voice of the one who cried out shook the pulse of the place. Angels are created beings created by God for a purpose. Amen? And these two angels are crying out about God to each other. And when they cry out about God to each other, their voices are so loud that they shake the pulse of the place. It's not God even opening his mouth yet. It's God just showing up in his glory, and they testifying about God in such a way that it shakes the pulse of the place. See, audacity means that you start to recognize you have a power. That power is given by God, but that power is enough to do whatever needs to be done. It's an understanding that whatever it is that God has for you to do, he has put in you such a power that is only potential right now because you haven't used it yet. But that power in you is so strong that when it's really released, it's going to shake stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, when he sees it, verse 5, then I said, listen, God hasn't spoken yet. God is just visible. God is just being seen. And God being seen and the voices of the angels lead the prophet Isaiah to say, woe for me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. When you start, listen, they didn't say anything to him. They didn't tell him what a dirty dog he was. They didn't tell him how evil he was. They didn't tell him that. All they did was they cried out about God. And when they cried out about God, he saw himself as undone. See, church, we spend a lot of time trying to tell people how bad they are. All you need to do is worship in such a way that God shows up, they'll see themselves. They will see themselves. God, when God shows up, people will see who they are. You don't have to be told. The night I got saved, nobody told me how bad I was. I already know. I'm living with it. I know what I am. They didn't have to tell me that. But God showed up that night. And when he showed up, I had to say yes because he was there. See, when you're an atheist and you think God's not around and you can talk a lot of trash, you can talk all about everything out in the sky, you can philosophize and talk all your stuff, all you want to say. But then one day when you're minding your own business and you say you don't believe in God and he shows up, you're not talking about, I had nothing to say. All I had to say was, yes, Jesus. They didn't preach to me. Nothing. God showed up. And when God showed up, I had to say yes. Audacity. Audacity is a boldness that comes when we have become confident that God is with us. Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Can we just go however God says to go? Joshua chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 1 and read through verse 7. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead.
Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Whenever God sends us somewhere, whenever God commissions us somewhere, even in the season when we should be grieving, God will say, I'm with you. God will tell you all the promises. Look at, all this is yours. This land I give to you. Now, I'm giving it to you, but you need to know two things. Number one, your leader who you've been leaning on, the person you've been leaning on, you can't lean on them anymore. I'm going to be with you. You're going to shift your lean from Moses to me. Number two, I'm giving you a land, but right now somebody's standing on it. And you're going to have to drive them out. But have no fear, because I am with you. See, our minds tell us sometimes that when God gives us something, that there's no price to be paid. Or there's nothing that needs to be done. And that's the symbol that God has given to us, because there's nothing there. But God has chosen to use us. Which means that when we're being used, it means that God will have to perhaps put us in the face of an adversary to represent his name. And when you are in the face of an adversary, you need to understand that your voice can make things tremble. So you need to have that Isaiah encounter, and you need to be able to take it in the face of Hittites. And you need to be able, in the face of the Hittites, not scream at them, but testify of God in their face. Testify of who God is in their face. Make it your declaration. Make it your word that's in you, that drives you, so that when you are in a position to either receive your inheritance or be driven out yourself, that you're bold enough to stand and say what God has said. To declare openly that God is in control. To be able to say it is God and not man. And even though the Hittites are there, to in your mind already know they have to leave. Raise your hand if you got some Hittites trying to stand on your land right now. Okay. I know who I'm talking to. Yes. Now, when you read through scripture, you'll read in places where there are a lot of different groups mentioned. Hittites, Girgashites, Jebusites, the Hivites. In different places, they encountered all these different people. All these different ones were in the land. But when God talks to Moses, he only mentions one. He only mentions the Hittites. Why does he only mention the Hittites? You'd have to be a Bible scholar to know that, right? So I'm going to tell you why. The Hittites represented, they were a fierce group of people. And they were so fierce that they were intimidating. And that just the name, the Hittites, scared people. People were scared of the name Hittites. They got to where people were so afraid of the Hittites that the Hittites, that's all they had to do was just be known, and it was a fear that came over people. So I want to show you why God told him only about the Hittites. Verse 4, he mentions that they have to go into the land of the Hittites. And then verse 5, he says, no man will be able to stand before you. He said, so no matter what their reputation is, you need to know no man can stand before you. Amen? But look at verse 6. Verse 6 begins a pattern that we need to embrace. That God says the same word to them over and over again. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses your servant commanded you. Do not turn from the left or to the right. Go down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The key word is be strong and courageous. Audacity means that you're willing to be courageous in the face of things. To have an audacious power means that you know that you have the strength, that you're already strong, that you need to recognize the strength that you have, and that you need to be audacious, or you need to be courageous and actually enter into whatever God told you to enter into. Now, I had to make a confession last week, or we talked about last week. Actually, let's just go there. Go to Proverbs 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4 and 20. Now, I had to make a public confession last week about something that I did that indicated where my heart was. And I had an opportunity to go to this particular school to work on a master's degree, and I pulled back because the reputation of the school was too big for me. And I pulled back. Now, I don't walk around thinking that I'm afraid of anything. But I recognized I held my application back. I procrastinated because I wasn't sure. So I found a boundary in my life. So let's go down to verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. What does that mean? It means you need to guard your heart diligently. Because if you don't guard your heart, there are issues of life that will cause you a problem. And we told you last week the Hebrew word for issues is actually the word boundary. So out of your heart come the boundaries of your life. And you need to guard your heart with all diligence, because whatever's in your heart will create a boundary around you. It will create a boundary that if your heart is not prepared, you will be afraid, whether we want to call it fear or not, but we will set a boundary that we're afraid to cross, or we have not been confident that we're able to cross. Amen? So what does this mean? It means that right now, while our nation is being shaken, the church has boundaries. The church has boundaries that it's afraid to cross. And the church sometimes is afraid with everybody else. Things have happened, and we have started to fear. And we've started to not only fear, but we've started to speak our fears. And we've started to agree with those who are in fear, who need us to have courage to encourage them not to be afraid. Because if both of us are afraid, you're not giving me any confidence. You understand what I'm saying? How am I going to bring confidence and a word to the world when I have found myself in a place of fear? When I've allowed myself to come to a place of fear, how am I going to come up with a solution? Which is why God told Joshua, I'm giving you the responsibility of leading these people. But you're going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to be courageous. Because the best that people will ever be able to do is what you do. See, we have to see ourselves as leaders in the world, because nobody in the world can go past their leader. Leadership is just that. It's what is in the lead. It's what's out front. It's the boundary. And if our leadership only can speak to this distance, that's as far as we can go. We can't go past our leadership. We can't go past leadership. If leadership says we're done, then guess what everybody says? And if people say, well, hey, I'm not done, you know what they're going to do? They're going to find another leader. You can't go past leadership. You can't excel past leadership. You can't go beyond lead. But the church has been put in the world to lead the world. We've been put in the world to lead the world back to God. But if the church has become fearful and the church is now in a position where we have seen some things and become afraid, then where's the world going to get an answer from? There is no answer if the church has become afraid. That's why when things happened and I wanted to respond, the Lord said, don't, because fear is going to come out of your mouth. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Tell your neighbor, I will not fear. We're going to go to the start of verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the wall and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Very first thing, something had happened in Israel, and so Habakkuk started talking. And then he recognized he needed to be quiet. So his next words were, you know what? I'm going to sit on this wall and I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until God speaks to me. I'm going to wait and see what he says to me and how he's going to correct the fear I was getting ready to operate in. Right now, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to listen and hear what he says because I know he's got something to say. Verse 2, this is what we're all familiar with. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. We're familiar with that part, but we always miss the first part. That you need to hear the vision, you got to sit down somewhere and listen. Because when you get visions that you haven't listened to or listened for, it might be a chili dog talking to you. It might be something you ate. It might be something else. But if you sit down and wait on the Lord and listen to God, let him speak, then when he speaks, you'll get a vision from him that will be relevant for the moment and the season and the time that you're in. I've caught myself in situations where something happens and I don't sit down and listen because I think I already have an answer. The shoe I was wearing yesterday. You know? That shoe felt good I had on yesterday. It fit me good. It did me well. I had no problems today when I woke up. But that don't mean that's the right shoe for today, brother. You need to pray and see what God says, what he's going to say to you, because you don't know what's coming down the road. So what worked for you yesterday may not work for you tomorrow. And the only way to make sure that you know what you need to do tomorrow when you get there is to have listened to God today. See, we have to be in a position where we're willing to hear, listen to God, because God has never shut his mouth. That's why Jesus was always saying, he with an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. In other words, the Spirit's talking already. And if you don't hear him, it means you need to get an ear to hear what he's saying, because he's already speaking. God's speaking all the time. That's why when we go somewhere, people go on vacation and they go sit out and they sit up on a mountain somewhere and all of a sudden their phone is out of range. Y'all have that bad feeling when it's out of range. Oh, man. Because you're so used to having your phone for everything. You said, what if I get an idea and I can't Google it? What am I going to do? They get away. Phone won't work now. They get away. Nobody's saying something to them. They get away and they process all the thoughts they had. And eventually, once they've had all the arguments in their head they can have, it gets quiet. And they say, wow, I heard God. I heard something. Well, why'd you hear it? Did God wait till you got up on that mountaintop in order to talk to you? Or has God been talking all along, but we have other things drowning us out because we never just sit down and wait to see what he's going to say? See, waiting to sit down and hear what he will say, especially in crisis, is the best time to stop. Because I've learned every single crisis that I choose to respond and act in, I go down a certain length of the road and realize, man, this wasn't the way I should have went. When something happens and I open my mouth and say what I really want to say, I'm going to say something that I'm going to regret because I'm saying it out of my feelings and not out of what the Spirit is leading me to say. So we seek to be instant, in season and out of season, which means that we've gotten God into us to such a level or degree that what comes out of us is not just our emotion, but his word. Then in the moment that the word comes out of me rather than me just saying how I feel. There's a little booklet Charles Capps has, and the very final thing, he's talking about faith. And one of the last line he said he was praying and Jesus told him this. I told my people that they can have the whatever they say, but instead they say what they have. You understand that? Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have what you say. But we say what we have and wonder when God's going to give us something else. You have what you say. You said what you had, so you have it. When are we going to be audacious, listen to God, hear what God says, and then say what God says? To speak what God says in the moment. Speak what God says concerning our situation. Speak what God says regarding tragedy. Speak what God says regarding our community. When are we going to get to the place where we have actually sat down and listened to hear what he would say to us? Verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. A couple things I want to point out here. Number one, you need to set yourself to hear what God will say. That means prayer, it's the word, it's meditation on the word. It's taking time and actually slowing down and getting the word in our hearts, getting the word in our spirits. When I heard about the series of things progressively, I heard about them almost all at one time because I was on jury duty, so I wasn't really paying it. I wasn't listening to the news. I was just kind of shut down. So when I heard like everything, almost heard everything like in sequence, like real fast, it all hit one time. And so like I said, it's like, oh my God, I'm a pastor. I need to say something. Like I said, the Holy Spirit said, be quiet, sit down, and wait. What is God going to say? Listen to what God is going to say. Listen to what God is going to speak. Because your heart is like everybody else's heart. Your heart is no different. Your heart is feeling the same thing everybody else is feeling. And it's easy to just jump in or jump on board. It's easy to start taking the news reports and posting them and exposing them and pushing that out further. It's easy to begin starting a snowball of things that represent the enemy trying to destroy. Because he's not satisfied just killing something. He wants to destroy. And what is he trying to destroy right now? What is the enemy trying to destroy right now? The enemy is trying to not destroy America. Who cares about America? America is just a government system. He's trying to destroy the hearts and the faith of people. He's after your faith because your faith is the only thing that pleases God. Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because those that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if the enemy can get us focused on how could God let this happen? Oh, everything's going down. If he can get us into that space, then we have no faith and we have nothing to offer a world that's dying and going to hell without regard to your color. See, racism is only relevant when you're in your skin. Ain't no racism in hell. There's no racism in hell. That's human mess. And that's human mess. And guess what? Here's how ridiculous race is. There's a pastor who came to a pastor's meeting that we had, and he told us a story about being a missionary in Kosovo. Okay? So he's in the Yugoslavian Republic over there that's broken up into pieces now. So we talked about is he was there when there was ethnic fighting. And so he's telling us the story about people killing their neighbor for their land because they weren't the same. But we would sit them down next to each other and we would say, y'all are the same. They hate each other because of their, quote, race. But their race and race, what we call race. We look at them, that's not race. Y'all the same color. We don't understand that. We look at that. We don't get it. We don't understand it. So I have a friend from Nigeria that I used to work with. And he said, man, I don't get this African-American stuff. He said, either you're American. If you ain't American, where else are you? He said, I'm Nigerian. I only know you as American. What is this? It's color. You need to be glad you're American, man. He gave me another perspective. Because it doesn't mean the same thing. It doesn't mean the same thing. What we call race is actually a mindset. It is a mindset that has been given to us from a demonic source that put on a holy robe. You understand what I'm saying? Because people want to make it that Christianity did this. Not Christianity. No. People who wanted to be religious wouldn't let go of other issues. And because of that, they perpetuated a race issue. But you know, the problem is, you create a race issue, but guess what? You live in it. You can't give it to somebody and then think you can't pay the penalty of it. So the people who planted it now are living in the harvest of it. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, what you put in the ground, it's coming up. That's what you're going to reap. You're going to reap that. So you know what? We have a problem in America that will not be solved until some new seeds are planted. It won't be solved by policy. We need to put policies in place, but don't think that policy is going to help the whole, because there's still seeds that have to be changed. There has to be a turning over of the soil. There has to be a turning over the hearts of people. And we have to be people who recognize that we've been given by God a voice that will shake the world if we speak. When Isaiah's there and he hears the angels and he recognizes, I'm undone, and they cleanse him, then when he starts listening to God and God speaks, God said, who will go for us? Now he said, I know my voice got power. I will go. Send me.
I saw these angels talking. These angels got power. I'll go. I'll go be a voice for you, God. I will be a voice in whatever environment you send me to. I'll be a voice for you. Because it's understanding. The stealing, the killing, and the destroying is designed to silence the church. He can't take eternal life from you. But he can keep you from feeding other people what will give them eternal life. He can keep you in a position of fear that you're afraid to speak up, or afraid to speak out, or afraid that saying that we're going to pray is not going to be received by people. That's what's wrong with you Christians. All y'all want to do is pray. We need to do something. You know what? You keep on doing something, and I'll be praying for you while you do it. And guess what? I might help you do it, but I'm going to be praying for what I'm supposed to do. I'm not just going to do. I'm going to do with what God says, because what God says will change. One man said like this, one word of God can change your life forever. One word from God. We don't need to hear God give us a whole long thing. We just need to hear God. We just need to hear from God. We just need to hear from God and know what God has said so that we know what we need to do. But if we do what seems good to us, there's a way that seems right to man. And the end of it is what? It's destruction. What does that mean? It means it agrees with the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But there's a way that seems right to man. But the end of it, what? It takes you right back to where the devil's trying to take you. He don't even have to help with that one. He can just let them keep talking. They'll get right where I was trying to get them to go. There's a way that seems right, but that don't mean it is right. Amen? Go to verse 3. The vision is yet for an appointed time, and at the end it will speak. It will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now he says it will tarry, then he says it will not tarry. In other words, it's going to come at its own point, but when it comes, it's going to come. Suddenly. Suddenly, it will come. Suddenly, it will come. Verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by, just are going to live by faith. Amen. Let me talk to you real briefly with this last thing. So we know that God has given us a voice. He gave angels a voice. He's given us a voice. The angels say, what is man that we're looking at him and we're trying to figure out, what is man that you're so crazy about man? What is the Son of Man that you're going to go? You're visiting him. You've made him lower. What is it? What? So the angels are saying this. But in the book of Hebrews, we're told that the angels, they are messengers of God. But God has chosen us. Which one of the angels did he come and say? The book of Hebrews starts telling us that we have an identity in Christ, that we are not lower anymore. We talked about this morning. One of our guiding principles is found in Matthew chapter 11. It's Jesus talking to his disciples about John the Baptist. And he says to them, he said, you guys went out looking for a prophet when you saw him, right? So you didn't go looking for a reed shaken by the wind. You didn't go looking for somebody dressed nice. That's not what you went looking for. You went looking for a prophet, right? And that's what you found. But let me tell you something, that among all the prophets born of women, not one of them has risen that is greater than John the Baptist. But the person that's least in the kingdom of God is greater. See, God has given us a greater voice. God has given us a greater voice. God told Joshua, Moses, my servant, who I talked to face to face. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now I'm sending you. Guess what? He was telling them, you know, Moses was good, but I'm going to be with you. So you're going to go where Moses couldn't go. Come on, y'all understand what I'm saying? Among the prophets, God is telling one, this one is great. I spoke to him and wrote. He watched me write on tablets. You saw when he came off the mountain. You saw that he was shining so that nobody but you would even look at him. You were there when Moses started talking to the people and they say, no, you go talk to God. We don't want nothing to do with it. Joshua's right there with Moses all the way. And so when God says, Moses, my servant, is dead, now you are going to take these people? It means Joshua had to get his mind fixed. Which is why over and over again, God had to tell him, only be strong and courageous. In other words, I know your temptation is to say you don't have enough strength. I know your temptation to say that you're scared. But you know what? Be strong. Be courageous. Because I will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. As I was with Moses, so I'm going to be to you. Wow. But then Jesus has the nerve to say, they were great, but the least one is greater. The least one is greater. Right now, simplicity of this word is this. People are going to engage you in all kind of conversations regarding what's going on. You need to be strong and courageous. When they say what the answer is, don't be afraid to the single, very specific answer that you know is the only answer. Don't be afraid to say it. We all know what the answer is. What are we going to do? If you make it political, then there's a million ways it could go. No, there's no, it's complex. Guess what? It's not complex. Man has got a wicked heart. We keep feeding the wickedness, and people keep manifesting more and more wickedness. That's the problem. You know what the police officers that kill people and the people that walk into place people all have in common right now? When you look at most of the stuff that's happened, there's a strata of people. There is an age range of the perpetrators that's all in the same age range. What do they share? White, black, no matter what culture, what do they all share? They've been trained to do exactly what they're doing. Their entertainment that they've been engaged in has trained them to respond quickly to things without thought. Because I have a reset button, I can do it again later. If you do anything thousands of times over and over and over again, what are you going to get? You're going to get a condition that no matter what your mind says, your instinct will take over. Muscle memory is what we call it in sports. I don't have to think about it. It's already in me. And so when I get in a pressure situation or I get into some situation, I'm not thinking about, wow, maybe I'm racist. Maybe I'm, no, I'm thinking about, I feel threatened. Boom, I pull the trigger. That's what's happened. That's what the issue is. The issue is hearts. The issue is the heart. It's the same thing, no matter where it is. That's why, like I said, I can guarantee you, if you do a scientific study and line up all these kind of mass things that have happened over a period of time, I can guarantee you where the window of age is. I can guarantee it. You know why? We're conditioning ourselves. We don't think that what we meditate on actually changes us. See, we don't believe that. Even though advertisers scientifically know it's true and spend trillions of dollars to program you. They believe. How come we don't believe? Our pride, that's why we don't believe. We don't believe something can influence us. We're free moral agents. We think what we want to think. We don't believe that. That's why Paul had to say, listen, don't be conformed to this world. They didn't even have television sets. They didn't have radios. They didn't have all that stuff pumping into their head all the time. He just knew, don't let this stuff get in your head. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're going to have to renew your mind. Guess what? If they didn't have all that stuff and they had to renew their mind, what do you think you got to do? What do we think we have to do? See, the world is programming you to be fearful. The world is programming you to be quiet. The world is programming you to not have confidence in God. The world is programming you in a way to get you to not do what God has called you to do. And we all are impacted in one way or another. The key is, when do we open our eyes? And when do we say, yes, Lord? Tell your neighbor, say, I'm ready to say yes, Lord. Where do you start? First, you need to get quiet with God. I'll give you these four things. Write them down. Number one, get quiet with God. Sit down and see what he's going to say. Number two, once he speaks, don't memorize it. Write it down. When God speaks to you, write it down. I'm telling you the steps that are in Habakkuk chapter 2. Sit down and listen. Write the vision. Write it to a level of clarity so that somebody else would pick it up and be able to run with it. Make it so clear when you write it down that somebody else will be able to pick it up and just go with it. Number three, remember that the vision God shows you has an appointed timing. Remember that the vision God shows you has an appointed timing. In other words, once you start and it doesn't work when you did it, said it yesterday, don't stop. You must apply tenacity. Got to have the audacity to use tenacity. Write to the level of clarity that everyone who reads can run with it. Remember that the vision that God shows you has an appointed timing. Now, the timing isn't only just waiting on God. The timing is when somebody can read it, see it, understand it, and go with it. And number four, the just have to live by their faith. You're going to have to apply your faith to whatever God says. Amen? Y'all got that? We know what to do? Don't respond quick. Sit down and listen. God will tell us what to do. Amen? This is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we already know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Amen? Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you guys. Amen. Praise God. God is good. All the time, all the time, all the time. Amen. Let's, while our teams are getting in position, let's just give God thanks right now. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your move right now. We thank you. You're not surprised by anything that's happened recently. We thank you that you've already looked ahead and made provision. Thank you you've made provision for the healing that needs to come forward. And we thank you that we hearken our ears to your voice to hear what you would say to us. Right now, we dedicate ourselves this week, Lord, to pray. We thank you that we will come together and listen and wait and hear what you will speak to us. And we thank you that you will speak and that when you speak, we will write down what you say. And then when we write it, we will write it with such clarity that anybody can see what it is. So we thank you right now for the grace and the mercy of God. Thank you for your peace. We thank you right now for everyone here that needs answers from you in other areas of their lives. We thank you that you will show them how to sit, how to listen, how to wait, and how to not wait in fear, but to wait with expectation, because we know that you love us. We thank you for the love of God has been shown to us through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died with each of us individually in mind, and that we have received of his grace and mercy. We thank you that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you that our acceptance of him has now put us in new positions. We thank you that in Christ we are seated in heavenly places with you, far above principalities and powers. We thank you, Lord, that as we have seen ourselves in that position, we thank you we sit there not with pride, but with worship in our mouth, in our hearts. We thank you that as we worship you, Lord, as we give you all praise and glory for every good and perfect thing in our lives, Lord, that you now are speaking and you're asking, who will go for us? Who can we send? And we thank you that our hearts are ready to say, we will go. We thank you that we're prepared, equipped by your Holy Spirit, that we have an unction from the Holy One, and you teach us all things. And we thank you, Lord, that in every moment, we never confess again that we don't know what to do, but we will be strong and courageous and wait for you to speak. We thank you your direction will be clear. Your direction will be powerful. And Lord, we thank you that even if you tell us to go dip 7 times in a dirty river, we will.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We won't question it. We will just do what you tell us. We will do what you speak. And we will flow with you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we are those sons and daughters of God on whom the world is anxiously awaiting. And we thank you that we choose to rise because you are with us. We will not be afraid of Hittites. We will not be afraid of anything that poses itself or tries to intimidate us. But we will be strong in the Lord and the power that you make available by your might. And we thank you for the glory of the Lord being manifested everywhere we go. So we give you praise and glory for these things right now in Jesus' name.